Hare Krishna, everybody. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 27. And we're gonna read 25, 26, and 27, and we're gonna focus on text 27. So Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'm going to share my screen so you can follow along. And so these two, 25 and 26, are together, and we'll read the translation for those. Translation, O King, as in the ocean, the bigger and stronger aquatics swallow up the smaller and weaker ones, so also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to lighten the burden of the earth, has engaged the stronger Yadu to kill the weaker, and the bigger Yadu to kill the smaller. This is, again, in the context of Arjuna's lamentation after Krishna passes away. And then we're here on text 27, and I'm going to do the Sanskrit for this verse. Desha kalartha yuktani hritta popashamani cha haranti smaratash chitam Govinda bihitani me. Translation. Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space. Purport. Herein, Arjuna refers to the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita, which was imparted to him by the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The Lord left behind him the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, not for the benefit of Arjuna alone, but also for all time and in all lands. The Bhagavad Gita, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the essence of all Vedic wisdom. It is nicely presented by the Lord himself for all who have very little time to go through the vast Vedic literatures like the Upanishads, Puranas, and Vedanta Sutras. It is put within the study of the great historical epic Mahabharata, which was especially prepared for the less intelligent class, namely the women, the laborers, and those who are worthless descendants of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and higher sections of the Vaishyas. And just as a little side note here, that's basically everybody in Kali Yuga. The problem which arose in the heart of Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was solved by the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Again, after the departure of the Lord from the vision of earthly people, when Arjuna was face to face with being vanquished in his acquired power and prominence, he wanted again to remember the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements, which may embarrass one in some critical hour. The merciful Lord left behind him the great teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, so that one can take the instructions of the Lord even when he is not visible to material eyesight. Material senses cannot have any estimation of the Supreme Lord, but by his inconceivable power, the Lord can incarnate himself to the sense perception of the conditioned souls in a suitable manner through the agency of matter, which is also another form of the Lord's manifested energy. Thus, the Bhagavad Gita, or any authentic scriptural sound representation of the Lord, is also the incarnation of the Lord. There is no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and the Lord himself. One can derive the same benefit from the Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. And because this purport's long, I'm going to move to paragraph 4, and then you can go back and read paragraph 3, which is very nice. It discusses the different aspects of Bhagavad Gita that are discussed within the Gita, the different topics. So, fourth paragraph, in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord and the living beings are both described as Sanatana or eternal, and the Lord's abode, far beyond the material sky, is also described as Sanatana. The living being is invited to live in the Sanatana existence of the Lord. And the process which can help a living being to approach the Lord's abode, where the liberated activity of the soul is exhibited, is called Sanatana Dharma. One cannot, however, reach the eternal abode of the Lord without being free from the misconception of material identification. And the Bhagavad Gita gives us the clue how to achieve this stage of perfection. The process of being liberated from the misconception of material identification is called, in different stages, fruitive activity, empiric philosophy, and devotional service, up to transcendental realization. Such transcendental realization is made possible by dovetailing all the above items in relation with the Lord. Prescribed duties of the human being, as directed in the Vedas, can gradually purify the sinful mind of the conditioned soul and raise him to the stage of knowledge. The purified stage of acquiring knowledge becomes the basis of devotional service to the Lord. As long as one is engaged in researching the solution of the problems of life, his knowledge is called jnana, or purified knowledge. But on realizing the actual solution of life, one becomes situated in the devotional service of the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita begins with the problems of life by discriminating the soul from the elements of matter and proves by all reason and argument that the soul is indestructible in all circumstances, and that the outer covering of matter, the body and the mind, change for another term of material existence, which is full of miseries. The Bhagavad Gita is therefore meant for terminating all different types of miseries, and Arjuna took shelter of this great knowledge which had been imparted to him during the Kurukshetra battle. So I'm going to go back up and read the translation again for this verse. And this is really a beautiful, beautiful translation. Arjuna says, "Now I am attracted to those instructions imparted to me by the personality of Godhead, Govinda, because they are impregnated with instructions for relieving the burning heart in all circumstances of time and space." So, Oma Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So, in this verse, he is referring to Krishna as Govinda, and that's why there's a little parenthesis saying Govinda, because he's actually remembering Krishna with that name. So, that's really beautiful. Supreme Personality of Pleasure is how Prabhupada defines Govinda here. So this is a very wonderful, wonderful verse and purport to sort of reflect on our appreciation of Bhagavad Gita in our lives. It's a reminder, it's like a reawakening our appreciation and what it means to us. And I was reflecting on how Arjuna here is helping us do that. Prabhupada even says in the purport that Arjuna's reflecting back to the time when Krishna taught him the Gita, these lessons, Bhagavad Gita. And he's doing so specifically to teach all concerned, this is what Prabhupada says, to teach all concerned that the Bhagavad Gita can be consulted in all critical times. So we can, in the context of thinking about Arjuna in this pastime, feel gratitude for how he's reminding us of Bhagavad Gita being the solace, our great solace in life. That's the Gita. And then I was simultaneously thinking about how we can feel gratitude towards Krishna as well. And in general, when we read the Bhagavad Gita, it's an act of gratitude for, we can feel gratitude towards both of them, because together they gave us these teachings that can change our life. And so in terms of Krishna, Prabhupada says in the purport here that even though Bhagavad Gita is spoken to Arjuna 5,000 years ago, Bhagavad Gita is actually an incarnation of Krishna and is available to us right now. So Prabhupada writes, there's no difference between the sound representation of the Lord and the Lord himself. One can derive the same benefit from Bhagavad Gita as Arjuna did in the personal presence of the Lord. So that really struck me, just thinking, wow, Krishna is not just speaking to someone 5,000 years ago and it's now, it's, you know, that person, Arjuna, got so much mercy in that moment. We can also experience that personal presence of the Lord, as the Prabhupada said, the personal presence of the Lord in the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. So in that sense, feeling gratitude towards Krishna for making himself available forever in his teachings. Just like with the holy name, right? So the holy name is also non-different from Krishna. So similarly, the Bhagavad Gita, even just having the book in your house is just so special, like having Krishna there. So yeah, so approaching Bhagavad Gita with that sense of gratitude. Thank you in this particular pastime, Arjuna. Thank you for reminding us of Bhagavad Gita, and thank you, Krishna, for still being accessible today. So I wanted to reflect on this particular quote in the purport. Prabhupada says, Arjuna wanted again to remember the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, just to teach all of us, teach all concerned that the Gita can be consulted in all critical times, not only for solace from all kinds of mental agonies, but also for the way out of great entanglements, which may embarrass one in some critical hour. So I want to focus on this phrase, solace from all kinds of mental agonies. So just reflecting on the Bhagavad Gita as our great solace. So I looked up the definition of solace. And one definition is comfort or consolation in a time of distress or sadness. So you can think of like a comfort blanket or things that bring that sense of security, solace, that relief from distress. So that's such a nice word, solace. So thinking of the Gita as a solace. And how does it bring solace? So why are we saying that the Gita brings solace? So it brings solace, and this is also from the purport, Prabhupada describes how it does that. So Bhagavad Gita begins with the problems of life by discriminating the soul from the elements of matter and proves by all reason and argument that the soul is indestructible in all circumstances and that the outer covering of matter, the body and the mind, change for another term of material existence, which is full of miseries. And then additionally, he says, it teaches us about our Sanatana Dharma, right? Our connection with Krishna. So on one hand, the soul, Bhagavad Gita is teaching that we're the spirit soul, discriminating the difference, making that clear distinction between us as our eternal soul traversing this world and the body and mind. And as soon as that awareness is there, that I'm not this conditioning, these thoughts, even I'm not even my mind, I'm something so much more powerful, eternal, full of happiness, and just a servant of Krishna, which is my real position that brings the most joy. So the Bhagavad Gita goes from A all the way to Z, like our, you know, we're not the body, and then all the way to like what's our real, the real happiness in life is serving Krishna. So that in that sense, it brings solace at times when we're feeling distress or sad, because often I've experienced in my life that when I get very caught up in thinking that I'm this body and this mind, and I take myself really seriously, and I feel like I have to control things, and kind of forgetting my position as an eternal part and parcel of Krishna and as an eternal spirit soul, then I get consumed in, you could say, material anxieties, things about the future, and just an unsettled feeling that I have to control my life. And I remember specifically years ago, I think it was maybe 12 years ago now, There was one year in my life that was especially difficult. I just from a material perspective, I had been in two car accidents in one year, and also at that year, I was also struggling to take shelter of Krishna. You know, I was kind of almost resisting it a bit. I think that's often a part of the experience of having to, when you grow up in Krishna consciousness, to have to find it again for yourself. So I was going through that as well, and trying to figure that out at the same time I was suffering materially. And I went through this space of time where I was filled with so much fear. It was just a fear was a big part of that, my experience at that time, consumed in like thoughts that, forgetting like the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. And so being consumed in fear about the future and all these things. And I remember at one point I was so distraught that it was at night and I couldn't sleep. And so I went over to my bookshelf and I took Bhagavad Gita, and I just went back to sit on my bed with the Bhagavad Gita, and I went to the index and I just searched fear, and I went through all and I read all the references in the Bhagavad Gita about fear. And it was so consoling. It was such a solace, immediately remembering, oh yes, there is nothing to fear when we're connected to Krishna, when we remember our real self in connection to Krishna. And that fear is just a product of identifying with this material world. So that was a personal example I was thinking of when Bhagavad Gita really was like a tangible solace in that moment. And I'm sure that we all have those. And I'd like to, later on when we do our discussion, I'd love to share some of those reflections with each other. So sometimes when we're resistant to wanting to take shelter in spiritual life, this is something that my father shared at one point, his realization that just remembering Bhagavad Gita is on your shelf, just knowing the teachings of Krishna and knowing they're there and Krishna is there ready for me when I'm ready for him, right? He's there in his book form. And just knowing that, like, even if we're somehow resistant to picking it up and reading, but having that, like, wow, that knowledge is there when I'm ready to access it again, when I'm ready to dip into it. It's there, and it's such a comfort, a foundation to our life. As a child, and I don't know if some of you did this, but I would sometimes do this exercise in my mind of what would I take suddenly a fire, like if there was a fire in the house. Yeah, I see some nods. So if there was like suddenly a fire or disaster of some sort, and you had a few, I don't know, minute or two to grab some things, like what would you take? And so I would kind of go through that. And I remember doing it several times over the course of my childhood, like, and it would sort of evolve, like, I'm gonna grab my DVDs, or I'll grab, things like that. And so I was thinking in that context of, in reflecting on Bhagavad Gita from with this purport and this verse, that would be that would be one of the items that would be critical to have with us. Like if we could only, like say we were everything in the whole world was, gonna vanish, and we only could have one thing, that would be like the perfect item to keep with us, because everything is in there, because Krishna is present in his words. So Krishna is there with us. And of course, there's also our chanting and all that. It's not like this is just an exercise for the mind, but I was thinking, like, if I was on an island and could only take one book, I would take Bhagavad Gita, things like that. So it's just to remind us of how precious this gift is. There was even a story of a man who, and there's many like this, but there's one particular story I just want to share of a man whose life was saved because of Bhagavad Gita. And it was a couple that were trying to put Bhagavad Gita's in hotels, and the hotel owner was really resistant. He said, I'll think about it, but he was really resistant to having a Bhagavad Gita in every room. And so they left a copy with him. They went in person and left a copy and said, just take a look and see what you think. And so he said, okay. And so he had it on his reception, the reception desk. And they later on, when the devotees came back, so he later on, the devotees received a phone call saying, yes, I'd like to have books in every room. So they came in person with their boxes, and the hotel manager told them this story. He said, "So when I had that book on the reception desk, one day, one evening, a man came checking in and was very like distraught and disheveled, and was very speedy about check-in. Was just like checked in and like just ran for the elevator, and he had grabbed the Bhagavad Gita with him, thinking that maybe it was like a free magazine. So, you know, he just kind of grabbed it on his way past the reception desk up to his room. And later on, and they were a little concerned about him, like they were thinking that's strange. And so I think they checked on him later down in later on. And they heard this story from him that he was planning to commit suicide that evening. And in his room, he had brought things for that, to do that in the hotel room. But because he had picked up, because Bhagavad Gita had like jumped out to him, right? Like had saved him. Like he grabbed the Bhagavad Gita, and he started to read it in the room. And he said he read and read for hours and hours, and like was completely, his whole, well, his intention to commit suicide was, you know, no longer there, but his whole approach to life, his whole understanding of himself as a, and his purpose was reignited, and just gave him a sense of purpose. And basically the manager let him keep the Gita, and he went home and so on. And then the manager said, yes, let's put them in every room, because he saw the power of the Bhagavad Gita's transformative nature. And so I wanted to share that. It's there's so many stories like this, amazing miracles of Bhagavad Gita, really reciprocating on an individual level with us. Sometimes you've probably experienced this, where you pick up the Bhagavad Gita and you just open it to a page, and it will be just what you need to read or just what you need to hear in that moment. Because just as Krishna reciprocates with each one of us individually, he's like a person. Krishna is the most personal, right? The most personal being ever. And he relates with us in such an intimate way, really according to what we need to help come closer to him. And so similarly, because the Bhagavad Gita, the song of Krishna, song of God, is non-different, therefore it's just as personal. The teachings of Krishna are just as personal as Krishna. So it's no surprise that when we open up a page and it really resonates, especially when times are stressful and overwhelming, that that's Krishna's personal hand in our life to encourage us. There's a really beautiful quote from a conversation of Prabhupada in Melbourne in 1976, where he talks about, so in addition to, we kind of covered how Bhagavad Gita is a solace, and it's can even save someone's life, and it's just very dramatic in the way that it impacts people. At the same time, there's another thing to reflect on, is that it just brings happiness. The Gita just brings happiness. So Prabhupada said in this quote, and actually in the title itself, Bhagavad Gita, right? The song of God. It's done in a joyful song. When you think of a song, I don't know, I think of something that's uplifting, right? And something kind of light. And so just thinking of it in that way, that it makes sense that it would also bring happiness. So Prabhupada says, if you follow Krishna's instruction, you'll always be happy. And if you create your own plans, then you'll be unhappy. This is the whole instruction. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. You give up, and then he kind of quotes, he paraphrases Krishna here. You give up your own plans, nonsense plan. You take my plan, you'll be happy. This is the whole purpose of Bhagavad Gita. You take Krishna's plan and you'll be happy. So simple. There is even another little excerpt of a quote where Prabhupada says that over and over. This is so simple. Just take Krishna's plan and you'll be happy. In another location, he said that. So that's another thing to reflect on, that the Gita bringing joy and happiness. So to kind of bring this full circle and bring it to our lives, like our unique relationship with the Bhagavad Gita, I was just wanting to share a technique that researchers have coined as the George Bailey technique, and it has to do with gratitude. So there's this movie called It's a Wonderful Life, and the main character's name was George Bailey. And in this movie, it's an old one where, and you might know it, so it's a classic old movie where the main character is just going about his life in a frenzy and very distracted from everything. And then suddenly he's pulled away from, his life magically is like changed so that everybody and everything he knew is gone. And he's just, and he has to imagine what life would be like without it. It kind of goes through that experience. So this technique, the researchers discovered that with gratitude, sometimes when you're just sharing a story, say, for example, I think in this specific article that I read is that they studied when people are talking about how they met a significant other, they're kind of describing it in this narrative, right, of how they met. They found that the researchers found that when they're just talking about the facts and how it happened, that there's a little bit of happiness with that, but it's spoken about so often and remembered so often that it doesn't necessarily really make a big impact in one's happiness or one's gratitude. But if the person writes about the ways that that might not have happened, that person may never have entered their life, like what their life would be like without that person, then they reported, those people who did that, the George Bailey technique, you could say, they reported more happiness with their relationships than the people who just wrote about how they met their partner. So writing someone out of your story, like what would my life be like without this, can actually really impact our level of gratitude and happiness. So the suggestion here is that we can do this with the Bhagavad Gita and with anything in spiritual life, anything in our life, right? But specifically in the context of Bhagavad Gita, I was reflecting on what would our life be like without it? Imagine that it had never come in. And for those who grew up in the movement, what if it had never come into the life of our parents? What, you know, we can imagine that. Like, what if the Bhagavad Gita just wasn't there on our shelf? What would our life be like? And suddenly that puts a perspective of, wow, like what would be missing? It's a whole new appreciation factor. So we can do that in our groups. And I'd like to end here now just to kind of summarize what we talked about. So we can reflect on the gratitude that we would have for Arjuna for reminding us of the Gita, that it's the solace for stressful times and for very difficult times. And we can feel grateful to Krishna for being accessible even today, like right now, in a very personal way through the Gita. And we discussed how it brings solace, how the Gita brings solace in the way that it reminds us of our real self, that we're not this body, we're not this mind, especially the mind. It can really feel real. It can really feel like us. So just that, even if it's like a moment of reading the Gita, just picking it up, or even just remembering that it's there on my shelf, like, oh yes, that's the real solution to all of my problems. And not just the solution to my problems, but the source of my greatest happiness. So I'd like to end there now. And for those who are watching later, you can take a moment to do this technique where you write about what your life would be like without the Bhagavad Gita and just reflecting on that and notice how that impacts your gratitude for it. So thank you so much.